A reading from Exodus. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's word and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." And from 2 Chronicles. The trumpeters, the singers, joined in unison, as with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform the service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Speak, Lord, how we love to listen to your voice. Amen. Two brief passages of scripture Kaitan read. Thank you, Kaitan. Both focusing on people responding to God with one voice. Have you ever noticed, flipping through the scriptures, how many times the phrase "with one voice" or "with one accord" shows up again and again and again? It's a very engaged, interactive, unison, participatory kind of image. Many of you, or most of you, have heard me say that my family spent about 13 or 14 years in a church in Houston called Church in the City. It was transitioning into becoming a vineyard whenever we moved from Houston to Nashville due to increasing activities in the music business. But our girls, Aubrey and Chelsea, who were 10 and 12 at that time in 1989, had never known any public worship other than Church in the City. And it, although it was just becoming a vineyard, it had always had a typical vineyard structure, what you might call a threefold model. Really twofold, with then kind of an asterisk at the end. Lengthy time of singing songs, lengthy time of preaching, 45 minutes to an hour of songs, 45 minutes to an hour of preaching, and then what we called a ministry time at the end, where trained prayer teams could pray with people. We moved to Nashville, and Church in the City had been such a great home for us, such a thriving, a place where we could thrive in community and come to know Christ and walk in fellowship with others who were doing the same. And we had no idea how in the world we would begin to replace that church home, that church life. Maybe some of you have had that same experience. You leave one place where you're so connected, and you have to find a new church family, and you don't know where to start. Well, I'd been doing business in Nashville enough for long enough that I'd heard great things about a lot of different churches. So we made notes of St. Henry's Catholic Church, Brentwood United Methodist, there was a Baptist church on the list, Belmont Church, which was an independent church that had been a Church of Christ, was on its way to becoming something like a vineyard. And a songwriter that had been under contract as a staff writer with our publishing company had been the youth pastor at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal. So that was one of the churches that was on our list. We just put everything on the list that we'd heard great things about. The fifth Sunday, we walked into St. Bartholomew's Episcopal, and although Janet and I had been exposed to liturgical worship at a charismatic Episcopal church in the late 60s while we were dating, our girls, 10 and 12, had never seen anything like that. I was somewhat surprised when, with another four or five churches left to visit on our hit list, my whole family said, "No, we like that church we went to last Sunday, St. Bartholomew's." I said, "Really?" So we went back again. The whole family felt drawn to it, wanted to be there. Now, Janet and me, I could understand. We had been exposed to the structure of the liturgy, and we liked that. We had some sense of its roots in church history. I'd been something of a lay reader of church history for many years. But I couldn't figure out the 10 and 12-year-old who had never been exposed to liturgical worship wanting it and why. And Janet and I talked about it, and I said, "You know what? You know what I think it is? I think it's because they have more to do in the service. They're not sitting and listening. It's more interactive. Somebody says something, 'The Lord be with you,' and they have something to say back, and also with you. Someone says, let us pray. And there's a prayer that we pray together. And so there was an interaction. It's participatory. It's interactive. It's everybody plays, if you will. I love that phrase. Everybody plays. Nobody is a wallflower. We all get engaged. Ancient future worship is participatory. It is interactive. In ancient future worship, everybody plays. And I think it's imaged so well and hinted at and depicted so well in these passages of Scripture, talking about people doing things with one voice. God loves it when we do things together. Psalm 133, behold how good and delightful it is when kindred dwell together in unity. And I love the image that it goes on and says, it's like the anointing oil that's poured on Aaron's beard. And it's so, the Jerusalem Bible uses the word copious. I like the word copious. It's so copious, it's so voluminous, that it drips all the way down the beard, down to the fringes of the garment. That's what living together in unity, doing things with one accord, doing things with one voice is like. It's like that unction flowing of that oil. It's a wonderfully messy thing. It's lavish, warm, generous. God likes it when people live together in harmony, in unity. Why? Why does he like it when we do things in one accord? Because he, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been living through the eternal ages in loving community, in one accord, with one voice. He made us in his image. And so it's right, it's appropriate. By design, we are to be in loving community, in one accord, with one voice. Have you ever noticed how much a mother loves it when her grown-up children get along? There's very little I can tell my mom that'll make her happier than about a great conversation I had with my kid brother, who's now 40-something, or some visit or card that I got from my sister. If she knows that her kids are really getting along and there's real communion and fellowship there, it just delights her to no end. In Job 38, when we read that account of what I suspect is the first record we have of a public worship event, when the morning stars sang for joy and the sons of God, the angels, shouted in response to God's work in creation. Several translations that I looked at of Job 38 says that the morning stars sang in chorus. Sang in chorus. The way we lift our voices and commingle them here in song, that's what was going on with these frequencies that were being emitted by these stars that had just been created. One accord, one voice. If you've ever read, those of you of Methodist tradition will know about John Wesley's directions for singing that are in the Book of Worship. He talks about not letting your voice stick out and be heard above the others, but that notion of blending the voices together, one accord with one voice. I love this. I don't know a lot of Greek words, but here's one that I've encountered in the last few years that I just love. Symphoneo. Symphoneo. It's the word in the New Testament that talks about agreement. When Jesus said, if any two of you agree touching anything in prayer, heaven notices and it will be done. God cherishes that agreement, that one accord. And that's such a significant word. Look at how similar our word symphony is to the Greek word symphoneo. When we are in agreement with one voice, in one accord, to God's ears, it's like a symphony. Like those beautiful blending of voices. Ancient future worship is Trinitarian. Ancient future worship is Christocentric. Jesus is the penultimate worship leader. He is the ancient future worship leader. Ancient future worship is communal. It's covenantal. It involves symbol as well as word. We tell the story by reading the scriptures and by preaching and teaching the scriptures. We tell the story with the word of our own testimony. And then we depict the story with every kind of picture and image we can, with the dance the other morning, with images that we've seen projected. And ultimately, and most beautifully of all, we show the story, we depict the story like we did last night when we break the bread and share the cup. Then we can taste and see that the Lord is good. There's an 8th century Chinese proverb that runs this way. And hang on to this one, it's a gem. That art is best, which to the soul's range gives no bound, something beyond the form, something beyond the sound. At St. Bartholomew's, the church where we were, Episcopal Church, for about 15 years, when the Willow Creek thing began to become sort of a buzz and the seeker model was a big thing, the rector there asked me if I would serve on a committee to study the seeker model and figure out how to implement it in our services. That happened just before one of our IWS sessions, and so I remember asking Bob Weber if he was familiar with the seeker model. He said, oh, sure, I've been to Willow Creek a number of times and various other churches like that. And I said, well, our rector wants us to study the seeker model and try to implement it. What advice would you have? What are the keys to that thing working? What's good about it? He said, there are a couple of things. He said, let me tell you about a church where I've seen it work the best. And I said, okay. He said, it's not about what people think the seeker model is, the performance aspect, the tightly produced music and visuals and so forth. He said, that's what everybody thinks it's about. He said, that's not what it's about. He said, it's about two things. He said, one, it's about hospitality. He said, that's where it begins. And he said, let me tell you about a church that I visited. It was a Roman Catholic church, I know it was, and I can't remember if this was in the Midwest or the Southwest, but he said, I've been there several times. He said, when I get out of my car, people are greeting me in the parking lot, warmly, acting like they care about me. I get greeted again at the door, warmly, by people who act like they care about me. They seem genuine. People seated around me welcome me, shake my hand, ask my name, tell me their name, want to know something about me. I feel genuinely cared for. Hospitality, huge hallmark. But he said, then when they begin to get into the liturgy, he said they didn't have books. He said they'd given me as a visitor a sheet for things to follow along with the liturgy, but he said everyone in the parish was so dialed in. And he said, and when the priest would say, the Lord be with you, he said, the place just positively thundered with, and also with you. And when the scripture was read and someone punctuated the word of the Lord, he said, the place just thundered with, thanks be to God. And the whole thing was alive with such energy. He said the people had internalized these treasures that they were celebrating. They had internalized those parts of the liturgy. They had memorized them. And they obviously cherished them, and they were some of the most precious things in their lives. And they were excited about being together to celebrate those things. We can get all the components right that we want to in ancient future worship. But the main thing is taking them into ourselves, into our hearts, internalizing them, cherishing them, and then celebrating them together. That art is best, which to the soul's range gives no bound. Something beyond the form, something beyond the sound. I really believe when the young pagan Augustine overheard believers chanting, probably chanting the Psalms, I don't doubt that there was a glorious beauty just to the Psalms being sung, the voices that were chanting the Psalms, but something bigger than that was going on there, and he could feel it. There was something beyond the form and something beyond the sound. And if we take these things that we've been learning, practice them, cherish them, internalize them, and celebrate them, there are countless young pagans in our culture who will see that there's something beyond the form and there's something beyond the sound, and all glory will go to God. In Jesus' name.